We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you. Monday edition of the show. All right. Look, it's... I'll be real with you. I feel a little off. I've been talking to Lonzo about this during the commercial breaks. I feel a little off talking about anything but Kobe today. Yesterday, I found myself getting irritated when anyone would tweet anything but Kobe. You know, but there were other things going on. Clemson got a bunch of recruits, and now I feel like emotionally, I need a little bit of a break from that, but I feel like I'm not doing my responsibility. So if you would allow me not to do my responsibility here for a segment or two, I would appreciate it because, frankly, it takes a toll on you to have that level of emotional connection to something for a 3.5 hour period of time. On that note, we are joined by Lawton Swan. Lawton's a buddy of mine. He happened to be placed next to me at Clemson football games this year in our media suite, to which he said, "They put me next to Mark Ryan. I need a bulletproof vest for this experience." Lawton Swan joins us right now. Hope 2020 is off to a great start for you, bud, and hope you're doing well.
Mark, man, doing great. Always good to be with you.
Lawton, before we get started on Clemson, I've been asking our audience today because everybody seems to have a story. What is your Kobe story? Whether you had interaction with him personally, whether you saw him play personally, or whether he just wowed you, whether he left you in awe in a specific moment. What is your Kobe story?
You know, for me, I think it's the fact that I grew up a Laker fan. I was a Magic Johnson guy my whole life, and everybody else was so enamored with Kobe throughout his career. I never felt that. I never got that. I thought he was great. I thought he was the best player I saw, not named Michael Jordan until LeBron James came along, but he was never my favorite Laker. I liked Shaq. You know, if you would have given me the choice, I would have kept Shaq. So I think for me, Mark, it's the fact that I can recognize the type of player he was. I can recognize what winning meant to him on the court. But I think the amazing thing for me is I was never a huge fan of Kobe, but the loss I felt yesterday, honestly, I tried to put it in perspective. The last time I felt that type of loss about anybody that I didn't know, honestly, was when Princess Diana died. And I think it's because there was this family aspect of it that I knew. I lost my mother when I was young, so I know what that's like for these children to have to go through that, losing a father. And certainly to recognize his impact globally, much like Princess Diana. I mean, I think in my lifetime, he's one of, you know, probably the top four or five tragedies in terms of deaths. I don't put Prince in that category. Some people might. I don't even put Michael Jackson in that category. Some people might. Kobe Bryant had a huge influence on so many people that I talk to and I'm, you know, around in this business, Mark. It's really been, it's been hard to comprehend what took place yesterday.
Yeah, it really has been. And I described it this way, Lawton. I didn't like Kobe Bryant, but I loved him. Okay, so I didn't, he pissed me off, you know, some of his antics, how hard driving he was, the fact that teammates didn't like him. I remember doing a sports radio topic, do you have to be a jerk to be successful? And Kobe was one of the examples that I used. But I admired so much what he was able to will his mind to accomplish. You know, he airballed the first game-winning shot his first year against Utah. And what did he do in the offseason? He said, "Why did I airball the shot? My legs were tired. My legs are never going to be tired again." Dude's doing like 500-pound squats the all offseason, right? And then he never was shooting air balls again in crunch time, right? So he had skinny legs out of high school. You know, I think he showed us what the human mind is possible of. And so I love him for that, but I didn't like him. But I loved him, if that makes sense.
I'm kind of in the same boat. I would say I didn't necessarily like him, but I respected his work ethic. Because as a businessman and in anything you do in life, you try to tell kids, put your all into it. Put your heart into it. You know, don't stop just because you're struggling or whatever. You know, there's a great quote out there. You always miss 100% of the shots you don't take. A lot of guys won't take those shots. Kobe Bryant would take them, and he took them from day one. And I think that's why we do respect what he did on the court.
Lawton Swann joining us. He runs Clemson Sports Talk, a fantastic Clemson sports site, sports show. Very much invite you to check that out at Clemson Sports on Twitter. Let's talk about this weekend for Clemson. My take is that Clemson is starting a movement right now, Lawton. I mean, this is beyond just a good recruiting class. There is a powerful movement going on, a magnetized movement to get these kids from all over the country to Clemson, South Carolina. And it began, what a weekend it was, Bo Collins, Jake Brenningstuhl, Cade Denhoff, and then Corey Foreman. What can you tell us about the most recent haul that Dabo Swinney's bringing in here?
You know, I think what it speaks volume about more than anything is that Clemson is trying to build something, Mark, that's bigger than the national championship trophies. It's bigger than just winning. It's about bringing in individuals who are team-minded, goal-oriented, and certainly focused on doing their best each and every time they go out on the field. So what I think compels people to come into this program from across the country is the fact that these parents feel like and believe in their hearts that their sons are going somewhere where they are going to come out of this program as young men and not as boys who are celebrating and doing things that, you know, might maybe turn some people off. You know, act like you've been there before. You hear that a lot of about teams. I think that's kind of Clemson's mindset. Act like you've been there before, and they really push the fact that, you know, these young men are going to get into the Paul journey, what they're going to do after their careers. And for parents, I think maybe the scariest thing of all, Mark, is that their kid goes to college, has a successful career, goes to play professionally, and then ends up broke. That's what Clemson's really trying to avoid. They're trying to have these young men come out well-prepared for life after football, and that resonates where I think a lot of programs, I think you're seeing the shift, but I think a lot of programs still focus so much on, hey, we got to win the national championship, we got to win the SEC, we got to win this, we got to win that. Winning is not about what happens between, say, the end of August and mid-January. Winning is about what happens after your playing days are done. And that's what Clemson, I think, is really trying to instill. And that's why they're getting these players from all across the country.
You know, it's funny, Lawton. I had a South Carolina fan who tweets the show, Michael Stathakis, say he heard me talking about the word movement. And he said, speaking of movements, every time Clemson signs another top 10 recruit, I feel like I'm having one. Right? I mean, that's
Michael's about 3 weeks ahead of schedule right now, if you know what I mean.
That's the South Carolina viewpoint on this right now. Can we spend 1 minute on each of these guys? Let's first start with a minute on four-star wide receiver Bo Collins.
Yeah, look, Collins comes out of the same high school as DJ Uiagalelei, the freshman quarterback at Clemson, the five-star out of Bellflower, California. He played at St. John Bosco with him. You know, when Uiagalelei committed, you kind of thought, well, that certainly increases Clemson's chances to get a guy like Bo Collins. But you're talking about rangy wide receivers that Clemson's got on campus already. That's exactly what he is. I mean, this is a guy that's 6'4". I could see him playing anywhere between 215 and 225 once he gets on campus. Has what I would say is a quintessential basketball athleticism, Mark. And I think that's what Clemson really likes about him. And again, the more you reach over to that state, you know about the talent in California. And for Clemson to be back over there again, bringing in another player, it's a big deal.
It most certainly is. How about Jake Brenningstuhl up next?
You know, I think he's an interesting piece because he's still got he's got a ways to go in terms of development, I think, at tight end, but he's got great size. I mean, he's a kid that's 6'6", maybe 6'6 and a half. He's going to have to put on some weight. But very athletic. And you know, if you look at Clemson, ever since Jordan Leggett left, they really haven't been able to find that piece at tight end that they can really rely on. I know that this year, had he been able to play more, maybe Braden Galloway could have been that for Clemson. I think they absolutely expect him to put up the types of numbers that you saw a couple of years ago when Jordan Leggett was such a factor in this offense. But Brendan Stuhl's got some of that in his nature, and I would classify him as more of a receiving tight end right now than anything else, which I think for Clemson adds to your weaponry, especially if you could tune him up to where you could have him in the game to help out, you know, obviously with pass protection and run blocking, but then ultimately slip him out for some plays behind the linebackers.
And how about Cade Denhoff from my hometown of Lakeland, Florida?
Man, what a monster. And the connection there, pretty ironic.
And by the way, Florida, you know, UF had Lakeland, Florida on lockdown. And I don't appreciate Clemson getting their grubby paws on my alma mater's backyard here, Lawton. Okay? Can you tell Clemson they can have the rest of the country, but Lakeland, Florida belongs to UF? All right?
Well, I'll tell you who's going to try it. I'll tell you what now. Keep your eye on Jeff Scott down there at South Florida. I guarantee you he's going to be trying to hit everybody in that state.
Yeah.
But as far as Cade goes, Mark, you know, still a lot of development left there for him, I think, in terms of, you know, putting on the right kind of weight and getting the physical side of his game up. But the burst at the line of scrimmage is huge. Already has a tremendous amount of power. But, he's still what I'd kind of call him wiry at this point, you know. And a lot of those guys can dominate at the high school level. It's a matter of what happens when you tick that up a notch and have to start going up against big-time NFL talent at tackle. And so we'll see what happens with him ultimately. I think he's still got a long way to go, but there's no doubt about it. This is a kid that understands the game, understands, you know, the footwork that you've got to have. And sometimes those things, when you're evaluating a guy, I think are so important for these coaches, because some of that stuff, you know, you can't teach. And I don't know if Denhoff played soccer at any point in his career. You know, I don't know if he did anything else that would have helped out with that, but you can tell just kind of watching him, he's got great balance.
And finally, last but certainly not least, they close the curtains with the number one player overall in the 2021 class. Now, is the 2020 guy pronounced Brian Breesy? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, Brian Breesy, yeah.
Brian Breesy? Is that right? Breesy,
yeah.
Or Breesy?
Yeah, I put a little more Z on it, but yeah.
You add some love to it. You definitely do. Brian Breesy. To get the number one player 2 years in a row, Corey Foreman, what a coup for Dabo Swinney, and what kind of player are they getting with Corey?
Next level. Next level is the best way to put it. I mean, this is a guy that's on track to be in the NFL, already has kind of that frame. He'll put on probably, I would think, about 20 pounds during his time at Clemson. You know, he's around 245 right now, but you're talking all the tools that you want, and can maybe even, you know, move into the interior if Clemson ends up determining that that's where he fits better. And I mean, they're going to be loaded on that defensive line over the next couple of seasons, you believe. And this is a guy that'll get on campus and challenge for snaps. And so I think that too really drives this program to where it is today, Mark, because you can't be lethargic. You can't believe that you've got something locked up. They're going to play the best player. And when they're bringing in guys like this, the guys who are the starters got to bust their tails just to stay out there on the field. So, yeah, he's a really talented kid. And, you know, we got wind, I guess it was probably about 10 or 11 o'clock yesterday, that this could be coming down, you know, the pipe. And wasn't certain if it was going to happen given – everything with Kobe Bryant and the storylines there. But, man, about 10 o'clock last night, anybody that has a Clemson sports talk, you know, their notifications turned on, we sent it out, that text alert, when the number one prospect in the country committed to Clemson for the second year in a row and the third out of 4 years. It's hard for a lot of people to fathom where this program is right now. And when you can bring in the top player in the country from the state of California, that's an impressive feat for any program.
And Clemson is killing it in the state of California as well. So if I'm a run-of-the-mill quarterback on a run-of-the-mill ACC team, and I've got Brian Breesy and Corey Foreman on opposite sides of the defensive line, you know what I'm doing, Lawton? I'm dropping a pew right in the middle of the huddle, and I'm dropping on one knee and praying, man. You know, because there's going to be none of these sorry, mediocre ACC teams. Those two guys on the ends coming after you. Can you imagine that, man? Wow. That's going to be nuts.
Yeah, it's a scary thought and a scary proposition, especially once these guys really get tuned into the weight program at Clemson. I think that's the other thing. You see their dominance and their size now, and you know, they're just getting started. And Foreman's got another year of high school. You're finally seeing Clemson. I can remember games specifically. I can remember Clemson playing South Carolina, walking out on the field when they had Jadeveon Clowney and others, and I thought, yeah, this is not going to go well for Clemson. Those guys are monsters, and Clemson doesn't have monsters. Well, Clemson's got monsters now, and when they show up, it's not about the strength of your league. I've said that over and over. It's about the strength of your team, and Clemson is going to be putting a great team on the field for the foreseeable future.
Most certainly the case. Lawton Swann runs Clemson Sports Talk, a fantastic stop for all of your Clemson news at Clemson Sports. Make sure you follow them. Keep abreast of all the things going on. Lawton, great catching up with you, bud. Thanks so much.
Mar, buddy. Take care, man.
All right. You do the same. Lawton Swann coming up next. A not entirely Kobe Bryant, but a Kobe Bryant-themed either or is coming your way on the flip side of this. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
You know, it's weird. I'm frustrating my producer, I think, Lonzo, because I just keep feeling like I should come back to Kobe. Like, I feel like an ethical responsibility to be doing this, man. I do, Lonzo. I feel like, you know, you're kind of bearing the lead, and you're also, it's all over the news, man. We've had ESPN on the entire show. Has one thing aired on there that isn't Kobe Bryant? I haven't seen one thing in the 4 hours that we've been on the air. And, you know, you localize it to the best of your ability. We've taken some calls on Kobe Bryant. Open phone lines for you. The question of the day is, what is your Kobe Bryant story? Because everybody has a Kobe Bryant story. I saw Kobe Bryant single-handedly ruin my team's NBA Finals hopes in person in 2009 when they were up 2-1 and then took a 3-1 lead over my Orlando Magic. I was in the building. I was at the game. I've never seen a more intense, focused player in my life than Kobe Bryant. I think Kobe Bryant is in that class of athlete that has one name. You know, the one-name athlete that you know right away. You say the word Kobe anywhere across the country, and before you think of steak, you think of the basketball player. You're patenting his moves in your driveway, in your backyard, or in the front of your house. And it's, man, it's just, I am beside myself. And we've gotten a lot of moving texts and tweets today. One came in here from Dan Kruver. He said, regarding Kobe, my second-born child died at 3 years old, and I cannot imagine losing my wife on the same day. It would have been absolutely devastating. Much love to Vanessa. Dan, I am so, so sorry. I'm so, so sorry to hear that. I'm so, so sorry for your loss, for the loss that you sustained. We had a moment of silence today, 2 moments of silence for Kobe in honor of his numbers. We had a 24-second moment of silence and an 8-second moment of silence. Both made Lonzo squirm. Let's see here. Josh Bogg says to me on Twitter, he doesn't envy having my job today. He wasn't the biggest Kobe fan by any means, but it was a huge blow to the sporting world. A lot like Dale Earnhardt's passing in 2001. Lonzo, you were here for that. You described it as a day of mourning here in the upstate.
Oh, definitely. I think some people still feel that way about that. It was a big deal for the sport. The only thing that's akin to this for me is when Derek Thomas died. And it wasn't as big of a deal for everybody, but anybody who was a Kansas City Chiefs fan, it was tough because it was another tragic death. I think the tragic deaths make it even worse because you don't see him coming and then boom, there it is. And then you're forced to have to deal with it.
Yeah, you do. You do. Look, I've looked at this outside looking in, and it's just been incredibly hard for me to digest. Kobe was in that class of immortal athletes, and immortal athletes don't pass away. They just don't pass away, and it's hard to digest, man. It's hard to stomach. You wonder how something like this could have happened. You know, I said yesterday on Facebook, I wrote that there are no words, but I'll have to find them by tomorrow afternoon. I'm despondent at the loss of Kobe. Rest in peace, Mamba. I didn't know at the time that his daughter also passed away. I then wrote, Kobe had unbelievable talent, but that wasn't his greatest strength. His mind was the most astute in the history of the game. His drive, work ethic, and IQ. I had a ticket to watch him single-handedly destroy my Orlando Magic in the 2009 finals. To be using past tense is incomprehensible. To be using past tense to describe Kobe Bryant right now is mind-boggling to me. I can't even believe that we're here, and I'm not the only one who's struggling with this. Nick Wright, host of First Things First on FS1, opened his show today with some words on Kobe Bryant, and mind you, he's been very critical of Kobe Bryant, the basketball player.
Well, Jenna, what Broussard talked about right there was my immediate reaction once you start to process it is there are certain guys who you really do worry about once their career's over. No matter how much money or fame or accolades they have, what will they do? And will they always be trying to reclaim their athletic fame? And I would have thought Kobe was going to be tops on that list because he was such an amazing competitor, and he seemed to have just a almost animalistic need to compete, to defeat you, to have there be some scoreboard that he was on the top of. But instead he went a totally different way. He totally threw himself into, it would appear, the things he maybe always had a passion for but deprived himself of because he was so focused on singular greatness as a basketball player. And so he gets into films. He's always reading a different book. And he gets his sports fix through his daughters. And that's the part that, for everyone, to me, is so jarring about it. And it makes you, honestly, reconsider all your decisions. It makes you, like, all of us, spend time away from our families for a career we're very focused on. You know, Broussard, if I may, you're bi-coastal. And I spent a year and a half living in a different city than my wife and kids and going back and forth. And it makes you just think, like, does any of it matter other than the things that actually matter? And Kobe was finally getting to do the things for him that actually matter. And to have that stripped from him, and selfishly for all of us to lose getting to see what the next 50 years of a savant, a brilliant person that was trilingual, person that could show the ability to get to the top of multiple fields, what he would have done, the things he was already trying to do for women's basketball, it is a tragedy unlike I can remember in the sports world in my lifetime.
Ernie Johnson of TNT fame up next talking about Kobe and Shaq.
that's one of the lessons that we see when lives are taken far too early, and we can't figure it out. We don't know why it happened, but I know that when we look at this, we can say, who do I need to make it right with? Who do I need to approach? Who do I need to humble myself before to say, hey, look, I want things to be right. I don't want there to be anything lingering or anything that's left unsaid, because we don't know. We just don't know.
And finally, Doc Rivers, so moved emotionally that he could hardly speak.
I have it. Listen, I just don't have a lot to say. The news is just devastating to everybody who knew him, known him a long time. And, he means a lot to me, obviously. He was such a great opponent, it's what you want in sports. That DNA that very few athletes can ever have, the Tiger Woods and the Michael Jordans, it's funny. I was getting to know him more since he retired, this is a tough one. We have to go play. The news is just so devastating for Vanessa and his family. And there's just so many people he touched, it's looking at my young players and seeing how emotional they are. They didn't even know him, it just tells you how far his reach was. So this is just shocking news for all of us. Sorry, I don't have a lot to say. I just can't have to go talk to the team before a game and tell them to play.
That's tough to hear, man. That is really tough to hear. Alexander Miles is an adjunct English and academic supervisor at USC Upstate, is a P1 listener of the show. He says, enjoying the new time slot, Mark. Malcolm Gladwell, in his book Outliers, mentions that people who are great spend at least 10,000 hours practicing their craft. In basketball, I think of two people. Larry Bird got to the gym on game day in the mornings before the custodian to practice jump shots. Kobe Bryant, according to a testimony this weekend by a fellow player, was in the gym at 5 a.m. the day after a playoff win to practice his shot. That work ethic is a secret and is not realized by very many. Alexander, not only do I subscribe to what you just said, but also I'm a big enough nerd to have gone back and figured out how many hours I have on the air so I can determine how close I am to being an expert at this. And you'd be pleased to know that I'm at 7,000 hours right now on the air. 3,000 more to go. I can get about 800 or 900 hours a year here. So I have, 3 or 4 more years to go before I hit 10,000. There you go. But Kobe Bryant certainly was that guy. All right. We're going to hear from Rob Parker, national sports radio show host. You see him on Undisputed with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp, as well as The Herd with Colin Cowherd. He offers some insight as to Kobe Bryant, the person, when we return here on ESPN Upstate. So I'm at a company party in October, and our general manager from the station is talking to me for about an hour, and Lonzo's in the process of bowling a 300, and Lonzo's like, come get your whooping, and I'm talking to the boss, and the boss is letting me know
that he knows Rob Parker. And I've been watching Rob Parker for years. Rob Parker's been covering the NBA since 1987. You know Rob Parker if you watch Fox Sports or FS1. He is the host of The Odd Couple on Fox Sports Radio, which can be heard each and every day from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. He's also a regular on Undisputed with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp, as well as a regular guest on the show that I grew up watching, The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Our first chance to talk with him, and he's joining us from the Super Bowl in Miami. Rob, so great to have you on with us. I wish it was under different circumstances, but a pleasure to meet you, sir. How are you today?
I am doing just great, and thanks for having me. And make sure you tell Steve Senecroppi, my former boss in Detroit, that I said what's happening. You're in good hands. You're in good
yes,
hands.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll tell you. I'll tell you what, Rob. Congratulations are in order because another friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours, put out a list of the top 20 national sports radio shows in the country today. And what a climb for you and Chris Broussard to crack that top 20 list today, man. Congratulations. What an honor. Jason Barrett is a close personal friend. And man, that's awesome. Congratulations. Really proud of you for that.
You know what? Thank you so much, Mark. I was stunned by it. We've only been on the air for a year and a half nationally. And, you know, to be cracked the top 20 that quickly is pretty amazing. We have a really, really fun and informative show. We don't take ourselves that seriously, but we do provide information. So Chris and I are thrilled. Really, thank you.
No problem. Rob Parker joining us from the Super Bowl in Miami, here to talk to us about Kobe Bryant today. Rob, we all struggle to put this into words, yet that is my job and that is your job tonight as a show host. How will you open your show today?
Yeah, it's going to be pretty somber, especially, you know, Chris with his long history of covering the NBA. And as you said earlier, I started covering the league in 1987. I can remember doing a pre-draft show on Sports Channel in New York back before Kobe was drafted. And I remember debating the other guy who was really into high school basketball. And he ranted and raved about Kobe Bryant till there was no end. And I thought to myself, this guy cannot wind up being that good. This guy went, I can't remember.
I felt the same way. I felt exactly the same way. He had like a 30-point game really early, and everyone was going nuts. And I'm the hold your horses guy. Come on, man.
Right.
It's one game. Calm down. He's not a superstar yet. And what maybe you and I didn't know at the time, Rob, was the mental makeup of this cat.
No doubt about it. And I think that's the part that is missing now. And I don't want to sound like a, hey, you kids, get off my lawn kind of guy. But I have covered sports for a long time, and I've seen different players, and there's nothing wrong with some camaraderie or whatever, but I just think the lines are blurry. The thing I loved about Kobe, and you can say whatever you want about him, is the competitiveness. He wanted to win. He's not making buddies on the court. He doesn't care if you like him or not. Do you know what I mean? I think that that's missing from sports, where guys are too busy trying to please each other and be friendly and all that. You know, you're just out there for one reason. And I always say there's a short menu in sports, wins and losses. And Kobe lived by that.
He most certainly did. Rob Parker of Fox Sports Radio and Fox Sports One joining us here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. We wondered, Rob, how someone as competitive as Kobe would adapt to life outside of basketball. And I'm amazed at how well he was able to let that part of him go and attack his other interests with the fire of a thousand suns. It really seemed to me like he had found a place of peace. Is that how you would assess modern day Kobe?
Absolutely. It was amazing because a lot of players, even players not of his stature, struggle once you're not playing ball. And once, I mean, it's usually a quick fall. You know, you go from, oh yeah, getting any seat at a restaurant you want to, once you get out the league, people don't know you, act like they don't know you anymore.
Right.
And there's a big adjustment. Not that Kobe was in that situation, but you know what I mean? There's just an adjustment when you're no longer a player. And guys struggle with it. They don't know which way to go. They need to find something to do. You know, if you get out of pro sports and you're 35 or 40 years old, you got a whole life ahead of you. What are you, you know, what are you going to do? And it did look like Kobe had found a niche. He was all the way in on his girls with the girls basketball, and, you know, obviously he won an Oscar for a short film, and he seemed to really, he was doing some stuff for ESPN on their streaming network. So he seemed to have found a place, and he seemed to be very happy. And that's what I guess probably, and it was so shocking about just how life is and how sudden things change. And I think it strikes everybody because you realize just how vulnerable you are. You think you're just going to the store for milk and you're going to come back, and it's not always guaranteed.
That is so well said. Rob, did you have a personal relationship with Kobe? Had you ever met him previously?
Oh, yeah. You know, I've met him and talked to him on numerous occasions. I was a columnist in Detroit at the Detroit News when the Pistons beat them in 2004. That was a great we always called that the five-game sweep because the Pistons should have won all five games. But that was a time when Kobe and Shaq were at each other's throats. And, you know, that was the bad Kobe situation where there was just so much ego going on and they couldn't kind of get it together. And they got beat. And that team, if you remember, Shaq and Kobe had already won three in a row. And then to be beaten by a Pistons team with no stars, it was pretty amazing. So, yeah, over the years, covering the NBA and covering the NBA finals and different stuff, but I didn't have a personal relationship with him, you know, not personally.
Do you have a favorite Kobe story, Rob, you know, either from watching him play or something he said or something you heard in passing from somebody else?
Yeah, I think when I think of Kobe the most, I just think that I remember how competitive, it's the competitive part
sure.
in watching him play. And I guess if I look at one moment that tells you where Kobe was headed and had the confidence in himself, if you remember his first playoff series with Shaq on the team and the Lakers facing elimination, the big shot, the last shot of the game, Kobe takes the shot despite the fact that Shaq is on the team. And I don't know if you remember this, Mark. It was an air ball.
Right.
And the Lakers lost. But it spoke volumes about a rookie who could think that he could take the game-winning shot in that situation. And it was an air ball. They lost, but that did not deter him. But it told you about the confidence that he had.
If you could bestow upon everybody the one memory that you would want everyone to take away from the life, the career, the person that is Kobe Bryant, what's one thing we should all take with us moving forward from him, Rob?
I think it's the idea of not giving in, having dreams, working hard. The guy worked harder than anybody. That's the other thing. I think too many people aren't willing to put in the work. Kobe wasn't great just by God-given talent. He worked at it like tireless, you know, Lee. He worked at being great. And I think most people don't realize that most people who are great have put in an unbelievable amount of work. And that's what it takes to be great. You have to work at your craft.
Rob Parker is one of the two hosts of a top 20 national sports radio show in America. It is The Odd Couple. You can hear it on Fox Sports Radio daily, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Also catch him with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp on Undisputed and on the show that I grew up watching, The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Rob, first time having a chance to speak with you. A real pleasure and honor. I so greatly appreciate it. Enjoy the Super Bowl and would love to do it again sometime.
Absolutely, Mark. Anytime, just get back with me. And good luck to you and your career, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Rob Parker of Fox Sports Radio and Fox Sports One. Major thanks to Rob Parker and for his time joining us from the Super Bowl in Miami earlier today. All right, coming up next on the show, it is the best thing we heard today,
as only Tom Rinaldi could say it. Some powerful minutes on Kobe Bryant, the man himself, and his daughter. From Tom Rinaldi, the best thing we heard today next, right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.